Oh, dear.
What?
Raj's television. I just realized we're about to spend an evening watching a plasma screen with a cluster of dead pixels in the upper left-hand corner.
So don't watch TV. Read a book.
And be a social pariah? You know that's not my style.
Ugh.
The audible sigh is a show of exasperation, right?
Right.
It was about me or the dead pixels. Hey, you're just in time. We made Tex-Mex.
Oh, sounds great.
Ooh, Indians making Tex-Mex. Might as well have had the Chinese pizza.
Hey, you.
Hi.
That's gotta be fun for you, huh? Watching Hofstetter suck the saliva out of your sister's mouth.
Excuse me, before this evening goes any further, we need to decide where everyone's going to sit.
There's no assigned seats, Sheldon. Just sit anywhere. Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, what fun. We're like hippies at a love inn.
Just sit here.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. Oh, look. It's Harry Potter and 98% of the Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay. We've got fajitas with all the fixins, so you make your own.
The wonderful dinner, some assembly required.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started.
Wait.
The Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery, it all started with a big bang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the latest episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we're your hosts, married couple and Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat
and Bo.
He laughs at me so much when I do that. But it's, you know what? I love doing the intro. It's fun.
I love your intro. I really do. Uh-huh. It is good. It's a very good intro into this week's episode. What did we think of this week's episode? You like this episode?
I really do like this episode.
It's actually not bad. I'm not going to say it is my most favorite, but it certainly is one of the quirkier ones.
Yes, it is.
Certainly at the end when you've got Zach and you've got Stuart and you've got Barry, or as they say, Bowie.
Bowie.
Bowie Quickie. But yeah, I think this is actually, this is a good episode. Not a great one, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it's not good.
Last
week's not great, but it has its moments.
Yeah, last week's flew by. Yeah. I'm not saying that this week's didn't, but it's this one really did pick up. This wasn't as much of a pacing as what the other one was.
Yeah, it has its some moments, but it's not one of the top episodes.
No, it has some slow moments, but you know, it's still fun enough that you can sit there and go, yeah, it's enjoyable to watch. So
yeah.
So yes. So this week's episode, we're going to open up. We're in
season 4, episode 17, The Toast Derivation.
Yeah. And we're opening up in Leonard and Sheldon's apartment. And we're seeing that Sheldon is actually ordering a pizza, you know, saying, Buonasera. And he goes, what? No, Buonasera. It's good evening.
Which, of course, is good evening in Italian.
In Italian. And he's trying to order a pizza. And, of course, he firmly believes that they are not real Italians because he keeps trying to speak Italian to them and they keep asking him.
Well, it's like when Leonard comes in, he's like, oh, un momento. And he's like, well, now you're just being intentionally stupid.
Yeah, which is un momento is just one moment.
Actually, it's not.
It isn't? Oh, my God. What is it?
Un momento is meaning 1 minute, but he's pronouncing it like you would in Spanish. In Italian, it would be un minuto.
Oh, so, okay, so him saying that, there could be a possibility that they don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Un momento.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's close enough that if anybody who actually speaks Italian would be able to figure it out, but technically it's Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes you also wonder that I don't have a question for this week. Oh, actually, no, I do have a question. I've just thought of a question. Yes.
Okay. Do you speak another language?
No. And it basically is for the end of the episode.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So we're seeing.
Sorry, we had to take a brief moment for him to write it down.
Quick moment, and I actually spilled.
And I don't have enough. I haven't had enough coffee yet today to actually vamp until while he was writing. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and I actually spelled it wrong anyway. So we're seeing that Leonard is actually going to be going over to Raj's apartment
because Priya is here, and they're all going to go hang out over there.
They're all going to have dinner over there, and Sheldon's like, "Well, you know, what do I do for dinner?" And he goes, "Well, come over with me, you know, come over to Raj's house." And he goes, "What about if he decides to serve haggis and blood pudding?" And he goes, "Well, I don't think he's going to be, you know, serving that." But he's trying to explain that, well, this is what's going to happen eventually, you know, because Sheldon's like, "Well, you know, every Thursday it's a tradition. Everyone comes over here. We break bread. We have we talk about the issues of the day, and yes, share a laugh or two. And it's always been a tradition for the last 8 years." And he goes, "Well, because Priya's over at Raj's, you know, we're going to be spending a lot more time over there." So this is really, Sheldon is very inexperienced. Also inexperienced about the fact that things can be a little bit different. They don't always have to be the same. And being out of Sheldon's comfort zone, out of Sheldon's world.
Yeah, Sheldon doesn't do change very well.
He doesn't.
Even though there is an episode in a later season, I forget which one, where Penny points out to him how things have changed and he's actually grown better for it.
Yes, he has.
And that's actually a really good episode.
Yeah, but right now he doesn't have that experience about trying to actually get things, you know, to try to understand that things can they can change, but they can also be a good change.
Yeah, you know? Changes can be good. Like getting married to you was a big
change. There we go. That was a big change. That was a good change.
It's an awesome change.
There we go.
But I would like to point out that Sheldon says that haggis and blood pudding are essentially the same thing, and they're not. They're actually very different. I have had both, and they're both disgusting. Sorry. Apologies to Scottish people, but they are disgusting. Haggis, in case you're in wondering, is minced sheep's heart, liver, and lungs encased in sheep's stomach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry to Scotland.
And it's spiced up
and
everything. And if you didn't know what it was, it actually can be rather tasty. But knowing what it is, I can't do it. But blood pudding is really disgusting. And I can't believe anybody ever thought to do this and to think it was a good idea to eat.
So what is blood pudding essentially?
Blood pudding is literally that. It's pudding made from usually pig's blood mixed with oatmeal.
Oh.
It's disgusting.
God.
And you also have white pudding, but I'm not sure exactly what that is. If you want, I can find out.
Okay. If anyone is listening from Scotland, we love you. And that's where my ancestors came from. But ooh.
Well, I'm surprised they don't do it more here. Okay, so white pudding is similar to black pudding, but doesn't include blood. It's usually suet or fat, oatmeal or barley, breadcrumbs, and in some cases, pork and pork liver filled into a natural or cellulose sausage casing.
Yeah, well, I still think that, I still think fat would actually be just as bad as blood, but I don't understand.
Yeah, but blood pudding.
Maybe honestly, blood pudding was one of those things where in early times, you know, when they didn't have
a lot to eat and they kind of made do. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But honest, and then it just kind of continued down through the ages. But and same with the haggis, where it's just trying to make use of all parts of the animal. I get that, but it's still disgusting.
Yeah. But I guess
haggis, I have to say, isn't as bad as blood pudding.
Well, I mean, I guess if you've grown up with it, you don't know any. Look, it's the same way as me saying. Yeah, I was going to say thank you. I knew you were going to go down that path. It's the same as me saying to everyone, you know, I eat Vegemite. Now, a lot of people sit there and go, "What the hell is that?" And then they'll read about it and they'll go like, "Oh, you know, you can read about it and then you taste it." Now, Kat has come from America, obviously, as we know, and she's had Vegemite. Now, what was your first taste? Feeling of
the only thing worse than Vegemite is Marmite, which is the British version.
Right. So there we go. But I've grown up on Vegemite. So for me, Vegemite is Vegemite. I've grown up with it, you know. So people in Scotland would actually eat this and go, "Well, I've grown up on it and I don't know any different." And I think it's wonderful. So
because I had haggis and black pudding when I was in Scotland. And I have to say I wouldn't order it. And but I had a taste of it and it really, like I said, if you didn't know what it was, it's actually not bad.
Yeah.
It's actually rather tasty with all the spices and everything they put in there. But blood pudding is just disgusting.
Yeah. So obviously this whole thing starts to go a bit of awry because Sheldon does decide that he's going to go along to, as he says, you know, Raj's blood pudding party. And he gets there to Raj's apartment and we find out that he's...
Well, isn't this where he says we might as well just omit the letter M from words?
Yeah, he said this is just...
And, you know, and then as he's leaving, he says, this is adness, complete and utter adness.
Yeah.
But he forgot the M in complete.
Oh, yes, he did.
It should have been, this is adness, complete and utter adness.
Complete, yeah, yeah. But when he gets to the front door of Raj's apartment, he's like, oh, no. And Leonard's like, what? And he goes, oh, I forgot that Raj's plasma screen has got a bunch of dead pixels in the corner. And he goes, well, you know, don't watch TV, read a book. And he goes, well, I don't want to be a social pariah. And so Raj opens the door and we find out that they have made Tex-Mex. And he goes, oh, come on in. So he goes, oh, with Tex-Mex, Indians making Tex-Mex. I might as well have just added the Chinese pizza. And so, you know, they put the plate down on the table. I love how Sheldon sits down and he goes, oh, look, it's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with 98%
of the Sorcerer's Stone.
And so Raj brings over some tortillas or that you can make your own fajitas.
Yeah, like some wraps.
Yeah, wraps. And he goes, oh, good, dinner with some assembly required. And then, unfortunately...
Which I have to say, he's not actually wrong about that bit.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to assemble your own dinner, but it's not a drama in anybody else's world other than Sheldon's. But I love it how Priya comes over and goes, Sheldon, would you like a margarita? And this is where Sheldon freaks out and goes, what's going on? What's happening here? Because Sheldon is not comfortable with this whole thing.
No.
And we find out that Sheldon then heads to the Cheesecake Factory bar all by himself. And he tries to get Penny to empathize with him about the whole scenario, about, you know, this going over to Raj's apartment. And really, Penny and Amy both point out that really, and actually, no, Amy was actually the first one to point it out because she actually did a video call with Sheldon at the bar. And she's like, well, I thought that you were on your way.
Yeah, she thought he was heading home, but then it showed he checked in at the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. And he goes, well, I've just stopped off here. And she goes, well, you've got to understand that it looks like that Leonard is the nucleus of the social group. And he goes, well, I'm very whimsical. Everyone likes to be around me.
Everybody looks to me for a good time.
Yeah. And Amy's like, well, I understand that you are the most
fun person I know.
Which is saying something about broad Amy. I mean,
and I love how Penny's like, well, people say I'm fun. And she's like, don't be needy, bestie.
And so we do see that it is shown to Sheldon that, yeah, he's not the nucleus that he thought he was.
Yeah.
That he could be very easily replaced and everyone is really following Leonard. And, you know, there is some way of, I mean, okay, when you look at it, when Leonard first got the apartment, or when he moved in with Sheldon and he got the sofa and everything, and when
Howard and Raj started coming over, is because they were our friends with Leonard.
So it just happened that way that, you know, the friendship started with Sheldon because they were already friends with Leonard. So really, Leonard is the social, you know, nucleus of, you know, this whole thing. So later on, we find out that once again, Leonard is going to be going over to Priya's house for dinner with Raj and everyone. And we find that Sheldon is preparing some snacks for his upcoming guests. And like it, Leonard goes, really? You're having guests over? And he goes, yes. I bet you're dying to know who. And Leonard doesn't really say anything. He goes, okay, I'll tell you. And we find out that it is going to be Stuart from the comic book store. It's going to be Barry Kripke from the science lab. And it's also going to be Zach, which is Penny's old boyfriend. And hopefully LeVar Burton, which Sheldon actually
tweeted him
via Twitter. So it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, this is Sheldon's attempt to make him the nucleus of the new social group. And he's hoping that this is going to work. But, you know, we find out this is really not happening because when we see the next scene, we see that all the guys are now in the apartment and
Sheldon, out of their minds.
And Sheldon's like looking towards the door and he goes, okay, well, it looks like LeVar Burton is not going to be here, which is very upsetting. But anyway, let's go around the room and find out why we're all, you know, here. And of course, or introduce yourself. And he says, Stuart, and he goes, oh, hi, my name is Stuart. I own a comic book store. For economic reasons, I'm living in it right now. And what I'm actually hoping to get out of this
is a
hot shower. And they look, and of course he looks at Zach and he goes, hi, my name is Zach. And
Could you come back to me?
And he goes, oh, of course. And he looks to Barry Kripke and goes, hi, I'm Barry Kripke. And I was told there was going to be a raffle.
A waffle?
Because, I was here because there was going to be a waffle. When's the waffle? And he goes, and of course, Sheldon goes, the raffle is going to be happening at the end
It'll be the ultimate, the final conclusion. Event, the big event at the end. And yes, you do have to be present to win.
Yeah, and Kripke's like, oh, damn. And then you hear Zach go, okay, I'm ready. And okay, he goes, okay, hi, my name is Zach, and oh, why is it so hard?
I love Zach, but Zach, I would kill him if I had to live with him.
Zach is such a great, great guy, but he is dumb as a box of ham.
Yeah, he really is. But I love him.
And it's also really nice because all the guests receive a goodie bag containing a free copy of the fictitious New England Journal of High Energy Physics. I didn't even realize that was fictitious. I thought that was actually a real book that they were actually giving out.
Yeah. Well.
But apparently it's fictitious. So so we also see that across the way from Sheldon and Leonard's apartment, there's Amy and Bernadette have gone over to Penny's house to basically, as they say, kidnap her for a night out of dancing to get over Leonard.
And this is Amy being creepy again.
Amy is being very, very creepy.
She's like, well, kidnapping is being used in a whimsical sense. And Penny's like, yeah, I kind of got that. She's like, great, then put this pillowcase over your head.
Yeah, and she goes, what? No. And she goes, okay, but, we can go dancing, whatever. And
Amy's like, this would have been so much easier if you'd let me bring the chloroform.
Yeah, and Bernadette has that look on her face like, oh, boy, that's not at all.
They really didn't have to go there with her.
I know. So we're seeing that Penny's, trying to get ready. I mean, she wasn't really into going out tonight.
Do have a kidnap story that's rather amusing.
Okay, so they're trying to convince her. So they really do convince Penny to maybe go out and go dancing and, try to find a place where she can get a young guy to have sex with. And of course,
how did Bernadette put it?
I need a bite.
Yeah, I need a bite.
I mean, if you can find a guy to a high need a bite, then go ahead. Why not? But Penny's getting dressed, and as they're sitting there and talking about where they're going to go, Bernadette discovers the preserved snowflake from the North Pole.
Yeah, Amy did.
Oh, Amy did. That's right. Which was from the North Pole that Leonard gave her in acrylic. And
Bernadette was like, wow, that's really romantic.
And, I like
Leonard
it.
Really is a one-of-a-kind guy.
Yeah, and she's like, well, holding a snowflake really, doesn't really seem
And
that...
yeah, Amy's like saying that... That Leonard's one of a kind while holding a snowflake is really a little heavy-handed, don't you think?
Yeah. Now, there's Penny, and she was saying, listen, I don't need to go and find a guy to hook up with tonight. This is the first time that I've been, not in a relationship. I'm actually quite okay with it. And this is where Amy gets a little bit creepy. She says, well, okay, well, if that's the case, then if you don't find a guy to hook up with, we can go to CVS and we can get you an electric toothbrush. Because she says, I've got a number of ideas to help a lady have
pleasure. Stress-relieving ideas for women.
Yeah. And she goes, for instance, do you have an electric toothbrush? And she goes, no. And she goes, okay, well, we can stop at CVS and get you a toothbrush. I call mine Gerard.
Yeah.
And we do really see that Bernadette even looks at Penny as if to say, oh, boy, that's not creepy at all, really. But when...
It's a less expensive way of getting like a vibrator.
Yeah, exactly. But when Penny actually holds up in her hands the snowflake, she looks at it and then she goes, oh, what the hell?
Me a high need a bite.
Yeah. And this is when she...
I could do with a little self-loathing.
Yeah. And this is when Amy goes, Lenin, and if you don't happen to find somebody, which is not possible, Penny looks amazing in the dress that she's wearing. We can stop off at CVS and get you a nice electric toothbrush. So, yeah. Okay. So back at Sheldon's apartment, Zach impresses the guys that he's talking about a story about a girl in a hot tub that he got naked and she got in with him.
Yeah, he was staying somewhere and they got into the hot tub, nobody else there. So he strips down to nothing, gets into it. And then this drunk girl comes along and wants to get in with him, and she's drunk out of her mind.
Yeah. And Sheldon really, Zach says, you're never going to guess what happened when she gets in the hot tub. And Sheldon goes, oh, the water rose. And he's like, what? And he goes, yeah, the water rose. That's that was what would happen.
And goes into this whole story about a king who wanted to know how much gold was in his crown. So he charged Archimedes with figuring it out. And he finally realized that if he got in the bathtub and then brought the crown in, he could measure how much the water rose and he would know the weight of the crown.
Yeah. And I like it how Barry Kripke's like, really? That is your question. How much the water rose? And so after the whole conversation of how much, you know, gold was in the crown, I like it how Zach goes, you know, long story short, I nailed her, because at one stage, and this is the really creepy part, right? So they're talking about the whole thing with the girl getting in the hot tub. And even Stuart says, listen, you know, can you please finish?
Can you please let him finish? I want something to think about in the shower.
That is
gross.
Gross.
Yeah.
Because you can sort of imagine what could happen in that shower.
Yep. But being a family show, we're not going to go there.
And we really don't want to think about it too much. So next, Sheldon decides that he wants to ask all the guys to choose between an array of vintage video games, which is Smurfs Rescue in Gargamel's Castle, Cookie Monster Munch, and Zork. And I like it how Sheldon's like holding up the Zork going, pick me, pick me. And look, Kripke basically goes, well, that all sucks the big hairy meatball. How about I go and get the karaoke machine out of my car and blow the roof off this place? And Zach goes, okay, well, I'll go get a beer run. And of course, then Stuart goes, well, okay,
I'm gonna go have a shower. We'll meet back in 15.
Yeah. And I like it how we're seeing Sheldon standing there and he's holding the game and he goes, I'm unhappy. So we're back in Raj's apartment and they're all basically reminiscing about their experiences with Sheldon, saying that he's rather quirky, and at one stage they make a toast to him, and even Howard says, wow, did you remember that? Do you know that's the first time that we've actually made a toast which Sheldon didn't actually tell us why people call it a toast? And I like it how Priya goes, well, why is it a toast? And Leonard says, well, it was because that the Romans used to put spice in their punch bowls. I don't know how that works as a toast, but we're going to go with it. But that was a toast. So they've talked a lot about Sheldon and they've mentioned him quite a number of times. And all of a sudden you hear a knocking on the door and it's Sheldon on the
knock,
other
knock,
side.
Knock, knock, all my friends. Knock, 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 all my friends. Knock, 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 all my friends.
And I love it how Howard goes, do you think it's like Beetlejuice? We've actually said his name too many times.
And we summoned him.
We've summoned him. So he comes into the apartment and this is really, really lovely because they're actually eating chili. And Priya says to him, would you like some chili? And he goes, oh, does it have beans in it? And she goes, yes. And he goes, well, it's not really considered chili, but because you come from a foreign country, that's to be expected. So you're forgiven. And yeah.
Okay. So Priya, now it's interesting because Priya stated that she learned to make chili from a flatmate from Texas before Sheldon arrived.
That's right. Yes.
While she was in school in England.
Yeah.
However, as Sheldon rightly points out, Texans do not put beans in their chili. So if Priya learned it from a flatmate who's from Texas, her chili wouldn't have had beans in it.
Okay. The only thing that I could probably think about would be, okay, so Priya learns the base ingredients for the chili, and she could have tasted it and gone, okay, yeah, that tastes really, really lovely. But you know, could you add beans to it? And they would be like, well, I wouldn't, but you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, it's known that a lot of chilies do have beans in it. But if she learned it from Texas and she from the guy from Texas and she's making it the way he did, it wouldn't have had beans in it. So
I must admit I've had chili with and without beans.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've had them both ways. I didn't know there was a specific way to not to have chili.
That reminds me, we haven't made chili in a while.
You see, everyone, every time we suggest food and then she brings up the idea, I score a home run because she cooks really, really well. And my tummy tells the story
thanks,
about it.
Baby.
So, you know, they do get a toast. Oh, that's
oh
right.
I totally forgot the trivia bit when Sheldon was at the Cheesecake Factory with Penny.
Go ahead.
We need to go back for just a second.
All right.
So he was having Penny listen to him and he's like, well, you know, the guys are having fun wrong.
Yes.
And she says, oh, the horror.
That's right. Yes.
And that's actually a line and it's an homage to Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yes, it was.
And the line is actually used in a similar fashion in season 2, episode 19, the dead hooker juxtaposition.
Oh, but now I know that the thing from Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Where Marlon Brando says the horror.
Yeah.
He's talking about the horror of war.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one movie. Yeah,
but it also references like the season 2, episode 19.
Mm. I didn't actually pick up the season 2 one, but I remember
that
scene from Apocalypse Now where he's talking about
But of course, they all go to another toast, and Sheldon...
Well, no, first of all, before we get to that, he says about the beans, and Priya goes, oh, Sheldon, do you want some or not? And he goes, yes, please. And he looks at Leonard and goes, well, your girlfriend's a little short-tempered, and which, you know, it's understandable. And then... Raj gets the glasses and he goes, to a toast, of all the people here, whether they're quirky or not. And then this is where Sheldon says,
well, no, Priya. Oh yeah. Sheldon says, do you know why it's called a toast? And she says, well, actually I do, because they put pieces of toast in, or spiced pieces of toast in the wine. And he turns to Leonard and he's like, wow, she's a bit of a know-it-all too. But Sheldon is wrong about the origin of the word toast. It doesn't date back to ancient Rome, but rather the 17th century. And if you want to go that much further, late Middle English as a verb in the sense of burn as does the sun. The old French toaster roast from Latin torrere, parch. The practice of drinking a toast goes back to the late 17th century and originated in naming a lady whose health the company was requested to drink. The idea being that the lady's name flavored the drink like the pieces of spiced toast they were formerly placed in drinks such as wine.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Well, there you go.
Well, there we are. So this is why everyone comes here to the Perpetual Motion Squad, to learn things.
Yeah, we have.
Not only do we love the Big Bang Theory, but you learn stuff too.
You learn stuff.
Good.
Well, you are hanging out with geniuses, so.
Yeah, you're hanging out with us. So what the hell? So in the final scene in the apartment building outside of apartment 4A, we're seeing that Stuart and Kripke and Zach are all singing "Walking on Sunshine." Stuart has got a really bad voice, so it is.
And
terrible.
He's also wearing a towel around his waist and one and his hair
because he's had a shower.
He's just
gotten
out of the shower.
So they're singing. We're walking on sunshine. And then all of a sudden, the front door opens and there is LeVar Burton walking in. And he's looking at the guys singing and he just looks at them and he goes, oh, hell no. And he turns around and he says, I am so done with Twitter.
Yep.
Because obviously Sheldon had invited him to the party and he actually did turn up. The screen goes black, and that is the end of this episode.
Now, what's interesting is LeVar Burton makes the fifth person from the Star Trek franchise to be on the show.
Yes.
George Takei.
Yep.
I read. Will Wheaton.
Yep.
Brian George. Oh, and Mark Haralick, who was Dr. Gable Hauser and DeVore Inspector Kashyyyk on Voyager. But I need to check the other guy because I forgot to check his
name. Yeah, who's the other guy?
Talk for a second.
I don't know who the other guy was. I know Brian LeVar. I know
George.
Yeah, I know who's George Brian? And I know.
He's Will Raj's Wheaton. Dad.
Was he on Star Trek?
Yeah.
He was.
Give me a second. I'll
find it. You see, everyone, this is the rabbit hole that we go down when we're actually doing these podcasts. The cat finds these amazing little nuggets of trivia. That's like, oh my God, I didn't know that. But I didn't know that he actually would have been on Star Trek.
Yeah.
That must have been a Next Generation deal.
Well, I'll tell you which one in a second. Just give me a minute.
He definitely wouldn't have been in the original.
Yeah. Just vamp for a minute.
But yes, if anyone's actually wondering, we do have a question this week, but we will definitely give it to you at the end of the podcast. But Kat is in the middle.
Go ahead and talk about that.
All right. So this week's question.
I'm going to be here for a second.
Okay. So this week's question basically refers to the last scene where everyone of the three guys are singing karaoke. So have you ever sang karaoke? I will honestly tell you, I have never sang karaoke in my life.
Really? Oh, we have
never.
To do that.
I don't want to sound like Stuart. Stuart sounds like he's pulling a cat through a mince grinder.
If I can get out
terrible.
There and do it, so can you.
Well, that's the only, I mean, we sing karaoke, and karaoke is a lot different. Well, I don't know whether I can do karaoke, but this is this week's question.
Have he was ever... on Star Trek Voyager as well as Ambassador Ozal.
Okay, so he's another Star Trek person.
Yeah.
But he's a constant, he's almost a constant cast member in...
He was on Deep Space Nine as Richard Bashir. Oh, he was Dr. Bashir's father.
Oh, okay.
In that one. And I think that's it.
But yeah, have you ever sang karaoke? So if you email us, if you don't want to do it through Spotify, perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com. The email is always going to be up on the bottom of the Spotify thing anyway. But yes, have you ever sang karaoke? I have not. That is this week's question.
We need to rectify that.
Karaoke is fine, my darling. I don't have to go any further than karaoke.
The last time I sang karaoke was on the ship when I was working on the cruise ship right before we got married. So this would have been 2013. And I sang Feels Like a Woman from Shania Twain.
Oh, well, okay. I just don't want people to throw money at me to shut me up. Here, I'll pay you to shut up.
Well, they thought about doing it to me.
No, you've got a lovely singing voice.
No, I don't. And everybody who listens to this podcast can vouch for the fact that I can't sing and I shouldn't give up my day job.
Well, I think you got a lovely voice. So, yeah. So that is this this week's question. Have you ever sang karaoke? And if you actually have, okay, if you have sang karaoke, what song did you sing? Now, I'm not going to include that little bit at the end of it. All it's going to be is, have you ever sang karaoke? But anyone that's listening that wants to answer this question, what was the song you actually sang? That'd be an interesting one. So,
okay. And if anybody's following along, we had 2 cook at homes and 1 snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best and shortest crazy credits ever.
Okay.
Chuck Lorre Productions number 333. Censored.
That is it.
That's it.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we told you it was going to be a fast episode this week, everyone. We actually didn't mean for it to be this fast, but
there just wasn't a lot to
that. That really wasn't a lot to say. But as I said, it didn't really, I mean, it didn't extremely move the characters along. We do see that Sheldon is a little bit perplexed about the fact that he's not the nucleus of the group. But you know, it didn't really move a whole lot around. It just gave a little bit of different perspectives of the episode, so or the characters. But yeah, not a great deal this week.
Yep. So lots of fun, and we just want to thank everybody yet again for being part of the PMS family.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't already, please give us a like and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know anyone who would love to join the conversation, please invite them along.
And thank you to everyone that's made this podcast number one on the search list of Spotify. We dropped down to number 4, I think it was about 6 weeks ago. And it was only
you guys brought us back.
It was only the last couple of days that I've checked again. And to type in Big Bang, that's what you have needed to do, Big Bang, and we come up as the number one in the search engine. So we are
awesome.
We are the number one podcast for searching for Big Bang related stuff.
We love
you so
much.
Thank you for making us number one. So we really appreciate that. And we love each and every one of you guys in the PMS family.
Absolutely. So on that happy note, we'll see you next time. And in the meantime, we'll catch up with you at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone. Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with the Big Bang.